Well, children, you are dismissed to Journey Kids and have a great time. Yeah. I am out of here. Wow. Yeah. Well, husbands, look at your wives. Don't go anywhere. Husbands, look at your wives and say to them, repeat after me, darling, you're gorgeous. Yeah. I appreciate the love and affection you give me in making me whole. Wives, to your husbands, you're a hunk of burning love. No. Husbands, I appreciate you for how you provide for our family and how you complete me. All right. This morning, I just want to, I'm going to move this because if you know me, I'm going to knock it over. Thank you, hon. This morning, I want us to turn to Romans 13, 1 through 7. And as you can tell, this morning's title is Vote. It's Vote. I'm just going to look at that a little bit this morning. Vote and what it means and what our responsibilities are as Christian men and women to vote. We look at Romans 13, 1 through 7, and it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. Verse 4, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Father God, we thank you for your word and having it so accessible to us. We are definitely a blessed people to have your love letter in our hand and to be able to read it and apply it to our lives. Father, I just want to pray for a family friend this morning who was taken away by ambulance this morning, and I know that she would be here this morning, but we just ask that you would be with our friend, our sister, this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Our friend, Mary Beth, is that her name? Am I saying that right, Mr. Roberts? Mary Lee. Mary Lee, when she's here, she's by herself. She just recovered from cancer. And she usually sits over here on this side of the sanctuary. And as Kit was coming in, He said that he rolled by her house and noticed that the ambulance was there. He tried to call before and wasn't feeling too good. So I just wanted to lift her up in prayer, and I'd ask that you do the same throughout the rest of the day. So the right to vote. The right to vote. If you've been under a rock, okay, because you'd have to be to know that in a couple days, if you haven't already done so, the election day is coming, all right? And I certainly want to encourage you all, listen, vote. I can say that. I'm not going to endorse a candidate, but I can tell you to vote. So please, do that. I recently saw on social media a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Steve Montag, and his lovely bride, Yelena. She announced that she had just now been granted citizenship. So she is now a citizen of the United States, and their journey has been long. And at one point, things got really difficult. I'm just going to leave it at that. It got really difficult. And so, but now she is now a citizen. I don't know if she received her citizenship in time to be able to vote, but I know that if she has the ability to, I know that she's going to. She's been in this country some 20 plus years. And it's not easy being granted citizenship to the United States. Especially when it comes to answering the questions that they ask during the citizenship, the naturalization. They ask you questions, and I'd venture to say that 8 out of 10 Americans can't even answer, will not get a good score on U.S. history. And so I know that while Nora was studying for hers, and I took the booklet to my work, I'm like, all right, guys, who can answer these questions? And they didn't do too hot. So I said, every one you miss, you got to do push-ups. So they asked me not to bring that book there anymore. So, but it's not easy. There's just knowing our government and those officials, the foundation of our country. It's a great privilege to be a citizen of the U.S. But as Christians, we enjoy yet a greater privilege, a higher privilege, if you will, and that's found in Philippians 3:20, where it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm proud to be a citizen of. Yeah? Amen? I'm a citizen. I can't wait to walk those streets of gold, to join other citizens, those who paved the way, those saints, those women, those men and women. Listen, we have a responsibility to vote as citizens of God, as God's kingdom, as well as citizens of this country. Our country was founded on the principle of religious freedom. Listen to the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. This amendment was meant to guarantee the government that they would not interfere with individuals' rights to participate in their faith. The idea that Christians should keep their faith out of politics, political life, is the exact opposite of what the founders of this great nation intended. Those authors, those founding fathers of our nation is illustrated in some of the our expected and Christian influence of our nation. Couple of quotes here. Benjamin Franklin wrote, "Whoever shall introduce into public against the principles of primitive Christianity will change their face, will change the face of the world." John Adams said, concurred, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." John Quincy Adams, the son of John Adams, he declared, "So great is my renovation of the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectful members of society." This last one here, John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, says, Providence has given our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." Do you get it? They are all about their faith being a part of this country. Could it be any further removed from some of the anti-Christian rulings that are going on now? I look at, I remember some years ago, maybe it's been 5 years ago, when it was handed down that that chaplains, military chaplains, could no longer speak against homosexuality. They have to scrub that from their sermons. They could never speak again about that. Something's wrong. That's not the way our Heavenly Father intended it. He wanted those who were speaking God's word to speak it in its entirety, not for it to be cut and pasted by man. Listen, we don't always get to vote on our judges, but we do get to vote for the people who appoint them. Listen, when I vote, when you vote, I hope you ask yourself, what kind of judge will determine the nation for my children and for my grandchildren, and I can say now my great-grandchildren? Currently we have three justices and that are super seniors, let me put it that way. All right, they're over the age of 70. Three of them. The next president, whoever he may be, will very likely appoint life appointments. That's just something to think about. Life appointments. The decisions that they make will influence this country and have effect on our children. We have the responsibility to vote. Listen, when you look at the long-term effects from even one election, you can see a great responsibility comes with the right to vote. Let's look at Scripture as we did earlier. What it says here, says in Romans 13, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not to terror to good conduct, but bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval." When you see what Scripture has to say about good citizens, you can see what Daniel Webster said when he says, whatever makes men and whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. You get that? Good Christians, citizens of heaven, make great citizens here on earth. Scripture goes even further in 1 Timothy 2:1-2, when Paul says, first of all, then I urge you that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. We are to pray for those that leadership. It's not an option. Whether we like them or not, we are to pray for them. Pray with them in earnest. Pray for them like you would pray for a family member. I think maybe I'm preaching to the choir here this morning, that don't underestimate the power of prayer. George Flory wrote, prayer is political action. Prayer is social energy. Prayer is public good. Prayer is an act of patriotism in the largest sense of the word. The single most important action contribution to whatever health and strength there is in our land is prayer. Prayer. The early church took prayer very serious. It took prayer serious about their government in a time that Christians were being persecuted. A Christian leader wrote to the lead government there in Egypt at the time. He wrote this letter, he says, so then as we kneel with arms extended to God, let the hooks dig into us. Let the crosses suspend us. The fires lick us. The swords cut our throats. The wild beasts sleep upon us. The very posture of a Christian in prayer makes him ready for every punishment. Carry on, good officials. Torture the souls which is beseeching God in behalf of the emperor. Here will lie the crime where there reigns truth and devotion to God. These men and women who were being persecuted in the worst way. None of us here in this room, none of you here listening could even fathom that kind of torture or persecution. We get upset when somebody calls us a Bible beater. Come on. These people are being beaten. Beaten. Tortured. And why they were being beaten and why they were being tortured, they were praying for the government that was allowing them to be tortured. How can we who enjoy so much freedom than any people on earth, how can we fail to pray for our leaders? We need to pray for those who are currently in power and those who will be in power in the near future. We also need to pray that God will raise up righteous and wise leaders for our future. I pray, it should be our prayer that we should be one nation under God. That's kind of where we've slid away. When we no longer recognize that we are one nation under God. Let's pray for the right people and for the right reasons. The reason to vote. Some of you probably have heard this story before. Back in 1938, there was an election in the small town of Wilton, Washington. The name Boston Curtis appeared on the ballot for Republican committeeman. The town's mayor sponsored the candidate because he wanted to illustrate the fact that people will just vote for anyone. They see a name there on the ballot. They haven't done their homework. They're just saying, okay. And this candidate, he won. Do you know who Curtis is? Curtis was a mule. Curtis was a mule. Everybody elected a mule for the committeeman. As Christians, we need to know as much as we can about a candidate. Listen, do not walk into that ballot booth and go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I'm not joking because I know that there's people that do that. Shame on them. They have the right to vote, but it's incumbent upon you men and women to find out as much as you can about that candidate. And just don't go by the sound bites and the snippets and the mudslinging that we see on TV and on social media. Just don't go by the material that's flooding our mailboxes. So I can't wait till after November the 3rd. We need to know more than what the candidate says. We need to know their track record. What they've done in the past. Who they look to for advice. What books do they read? We need to know how the candidate votes before we give them our vote. Amen. Here are some questions I like to get answered. I think questions that you should also ask and want to get answered. What is my candidate's world views? Where does that candidate stand? Because he's going to be representing the United States. So he needs to know more, he or she needs to know more than just about what's going on here. What is our candidate's guide for moral issues? And, oh man, if we haven't seen some folks mess that up, people in office, come on. We as citizens, we voted for them. And they act like fools. Find out what their moral issues are. Is the candidate faithful to his or her family commitments? Are they committed to the family? Because if they're committed to the family, then you know that there will be a degree of commitment to the office that he or she will hold. Does the candidate have a history of being truthful? And I could play with that, but I'm not. But are they truthful? Does that candidate handle their finances with integrity and with generosity? Are they giving? Is the candidate committed to justice for the innocent and for the vulnerable? Are they just concerned about them and their constituents? Is the candidate committed to protecting the nation from her enemies? We need to know that whoever is in leadership is going to do what needs to be done to protect us. This nation has been rather fortunate in comparison to other nations, as young as we are. As the leader of this nation, they need to do whatever it takes to protect and defend the Constitution. Now, granted, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to get those kind of questions. I know, but we, as long as you know that you've done due diligence in researching, it's better than walking in there blind. And of course, listen, just like there's no perfect Christian, like there's no perfect church, there's also no perfect candidate. But I believe with my heart of hearts that God is able to give us discernment. If we ask Him, Father, and make it a matter of prayer, Father, who am I to elect? Who am I to put that ink mark in the checkbox for? I know I've done my homework. I know where they stand. Father, where am I supposed to put that X at? Again, I ask you to consider our current moral issues. These, and not the worldly moral issues. Hello. Because the world is kind of jacked up when it comes to moral issues. I'm talking about the moral issues that are found in God's Word. Hello. The ones that are found here, that's the ones I'm talking about. Does the candidate have these kind of morals? Are they following God's Word when it comes to marriage? And its foundational institution created by God between that marriage being between a man and a woman. How about the value of human life? This issue shows up all the time. The value of human life. I'm just telling you, folks, I have to be careful because I don't want it to seem like I'm endorsing one candidate or another. But for me, Pastor JR, I follow, when it comes to that, especially the value of human life, It doesn't matter the size of a human. If the human is this big, or this big, or this big, there's value in human life, no matter what stage it is at. Because there's a human life inside that woman's womb, does that make that little human that's forming any less than the human outside of the womb? Oh, I better stop. It doesn't. Oh, man. Economics. Some of you are there, right? God's words has plenty to say about money. Bottom line is, I think it would do our government good if all of them sat down before they all started their duties of being fiscal officers is to sit down and do a crash course on Dave Ramsey's financial piece. And if you haven't done it, it's worth doing. The same principles that make a family run smoothly as far as their finances, not spending more than you have. I like the way Dave Ramsey does. He's like, okay, he does things in envelopes. Those of you who are familiar, it's like, okay, this is my paycheck. $20 goes for this. $80 goes for this. And that's what you spend. That's how you stick. That's a way to stick to your budget. It's a discipline. Our leaders are those who are in charge. They need to quit spending money that they don't have, or we'll be bankrupt before we know it if we already aren't. I don't know that if you've noticed that some politicians try to promise the most people the biggest payback so that they can get your votes. You notice that? Hey, listen, I'll lower your taxes. I'll lower your taxes if you vote for me. Come on. Hook a brother up, all right? Just put that little check. I promise I'll lower your taxes. And for those who are getting incentives, hey, you see what you're getting now? I'll give you more incentives. They try to capture our vote through our purses, through our pocketbooks, our wallets. They figure if I can get you there, I'll get your vote. Unfortunately, I think that happens. A majority of people vote that way. They're voting saying, hey, what can that leader do for me financially? I'm thinking that we are children of God and we shouldn't vote with our pocketbooks. Christian men and women should vote for the greater good. Christians should vote on the basis of wisdom and not looking at the benefits of what can I do? How can this politician benefit me? What can I get out of it? That's kind of the way a lot of people think, isn't it? What can I get out of the deal? How about, let's think about broad. What can that leader do for all of us? In the late 1800s, Benjamin Disraeli said this: great nations rise and fall. The people go from bondage to spiritual truth, to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back to bondage. Listen, church, I beg you that you not enter the voting booth seeing yourself only as a taxpayer or a loyal member to a particular party. You shouldn't just vote on the basis of what will make life easier for us. As Christians, we need to vote wisely, looking at the big picture of what will be good for the long term and best for the people as a whole. We need to vote for our children and our grandchildren's future and our great-grandchildren's future. I would hate for my great-grandchild if I happened to live a couple years longer for them to say, I can't believe this is going on. Papa, who did you vote for? Jim Lyons was talking about, and you can check our church's Facebook page, and he's talking about there's a segment there that you can ask Jim Lyons anything, and people ask him any and everything. He's just transparent. And when he was sharing, he said something that reminded me when I was in the sixth grade, Mrs. Mason Brink's class. I don't know why I remember the sixth grade so well, but I do. And that was the first time we did a social science fair. Remember those? And it was before computers, so you had to write everything out in ink. And I did my report on Martin Luther King Jr. It was the first A I ever got in my life. I was so proud. And there's a quote. The time is always right to do the right thing. Church, do the right thing on November 3rd. Father in heaven, this morning, we are your citizens, and we're here for a reason. You just didn't place us here just to walk around. Each of us have a purpose. We have a duty, not only to serve as your servants, to be your ambassadors, whether in the workplace or in home. But we need to be your ambassadors in the voting booth. I pray that for those who have already voted, amen, that they did due diligence in finding out who they're voting for. And for those who haven't voted yet, knowing that they still have a little bit of time to do that. And that, Father, that you would be with us when we're in that voting booth. That we would put a check by the name, by that man or woman who sees this nation under you. In your name I pray. Amen.